70s, then a nice day Sunday with a high around 80. Our weather app will keep you on top of all the tropical action. Get it on your phone or tablet now. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From CBS 8 and ABC 32, I'm Jalea Brooks. Happening today, Alabama News Network is partnering with the Department of Labor for a job fair at Selma University from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Dozens of employers will be on hand with thousands of job opportunities. The reward for information that will help find Camille McKinney is now up to $25,000. The FBI is involved in the search for the three-year-old that also goes by Cupcake. Police say she was kidnapped from a birthday party on Saturday. Anyone with helpful information could contact 911 immediately or Birmingham Crime Stoppers. A group of civil rights leaders known as the Courageous Eight were honored yesterday at Alabama State University. The eight individuals led the peaceful protests in Selma that led to the 1965 Selma to Montgomery March. Their portraits were unveiled at ASU and will now be a part of a national traveling exhibit. And those are your news headlines this morning. For more on these stories and others, watch CBS 8 and ABC 32. For Alabama News Network, I'm Jalea Brooks.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Sometimes you need things done around your house or land that your lawnmower or weed eater just can't handle. That's when you call Prattville Farm Center. They bring their own crew and equipment and clear whatever you need. They say no job is too small. I've been going to Prattville Farm Center for years, and I like dealing with hometown folks. They get the job done right and get it done quickly. If you have land that needs clearing, call Randy at Prattville Farm Center on South Memorial Drive in Prattville. Call 365-5400.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Turkey is demanding U.S. allies, the Kurds, lay down their weapons or it won't stop its invasion of northern Syria.
President Trump and Nancy Pelosi met. Democrats say Trump was in meltdown mode.
He was insulting, particularly to the speaker, but he called her a third-rate politician.
Now, both sides agree that Pelosi walked out of the meeting.
A letter President Trump sent to the Turkish president, writing, "Let's work out a good deal. You don't want to be responsible for slaughtering thousands of people, and I don't want to be responsible for destroying the Turkish economy. Don't be a tough guy. Don't be a fool."
An intense storm on the East Coast expected to develop into a rare event that forecasters call a bomb cyclone.
Hyundai is joining the race to build electric and self-driving cars. We'll invest $35 billion into future mobility technology by the year 2025.
So there's a spinoff of Grease in the works, and it's for streaming, however, Melissa.
Yes.
Not for the movies.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Thursday. Thumbs up, Thursday. See a police officer, give him a big thumbs up. And then also, we call it TGIFE. I am so looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be cool. I might have a fire pit going on Friday night. Wine, Riverwalk Wine Fest on Saturday. Oh, yeah. Church on Sunday. Steaks. Alabama game at 8 o'clock. As the mayor said, I'm not sure if I can stay up that late after doing the Auburn game at 11 o'clock right. And the wine tasting in between. Better take a lot of caffeine for my...
Indeed.
May need to do some Irish coffee. Kind of get me going.
Get
there.
Get started early.
272-9228. Something I've neglected mentioning is that any caller can get in on Sweet Creek Farm Market Gift Basket, which we do tomorrow between 2:30 and 2:40. It's going to be a great weekend for Sweet Creek Farm Market. They're going to have all sorts of fun things. They got the scarecrows. They got all sorts of kid things. It's Oktoberfest down at Sweet Creek Farm Market. Take advantage of it. You need pumpkins. You need mums. You need decorations. You need Sweet Creek Farm Market. Then, if you're a first-time caller, your name will go in twice to the Sweet Creek Farm Market Gift Basket drawing, which, as I mentioned, we will do tomorrow. Okay. So, yes. Name game.
So the name game for this hour, Gabrielle Vize, V-E-A-Z-E-Y, Gabrielle Vize or Vize, Gabrielle Vize, call 396-5477 within the hour for your chance to win a $1,000 shopping spree to select stores at Eastdale Mall. Those stores are $500 to At Home and $500 to Foot Locker. So again, Gabrielle Vize, call 396-5477 within the hour for your chance to win this great prize.
I like that. Okay, President Swalwell.
Smarmiest man in politics.
Man, this, I mean, I want you to listen to this. He's going to be talking about the hearings that are happening in the Republicans. And everything he accuses the Republicans are doing is exactly what they're doing, by the way. Listen in.
Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell, a member of the House Intelligence and Judiciary Committees. Well, what's your response to that? You know, they say they went to the office, they tried to get transcripts, they're being blocked by staffers and guards was the words they used, that they won't let them look at what's going on in these hearings. Why is that?
In Soviet-style tactics, but no one willing to condemn the Soviet-style shakedown that the president conducted.
The answer to the first question is what? Why are they being prevented from seeing these transcripts, which are happening on Capitol Hill?
They sat in the interview with me. They heard the witness firsthand. The transcript is being reviewed by the witness right now, and then it goes back to them. Again, when you're attacking the process and you can't defend what the president said, I think it's pretty obvious that you're ashamed of what he did.
Ashamed.
And this is kind of, in law school they told me, if the facts aren't on your side, argue the law. If the law's not on your side, argue the facts. And if neither are on your side, just pound your fist on the table and scream really loud. These guys are just pounding their fists on the table.
And that's exactly what they're doing, is when they don't have anything, they're just making it up and shouting it louder and louder and louder. It's incredible some of the stuff he's going to say in this interview, boys and girls. So President Swalwell, guilty, that Trump is guilty of extortion. Listen to this.
When the American people feel like they see a lot of that on both sides, that happens on both
sides.
Saying yes, the American people will be able to see all of these transcripts, and how soon will that happen?
When our investigation is over. And I just want to be clear, because it's a fair question. Why are we doing, you know, this part behind closed doors?
Right.
It's because this is a tight circle of people who saw the president's shakedown scheme. We don't want witnesses sharing with each other what they heard or what they did.
And then they cook up an alibi. Would you compare this part of the investigation to sort of like a deposition? Would that be fair?
Well, that's what we're calling it.
Okay. So let me ask you this, because this is what happened between Adam Schiff and Kurt Volker. Adam Schiff pressed the United States Special Representative, former Kurt Volker, to testify that Ukrainian officials felt pressured to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden's son Hunter as a result of President Trump withholding U.S. military aid to Ukraine. Volker denied that was the case. He noted that Ukrainian leaders didn't even know that aid was being withheld and that they believed that their relationship with the United States was moving along just fine. So when Volker repeatedly declined to agree with Adam Schiff's characterization, Schiff said, "Ambassador, you are making this much more complicated than it has to be." So is it the practice of attorneys in a deposition to try to press the people who show up to explain their understanding of what happened into a different assessment than what they believe it to be? Is that the normal practice?
Well, I don't agree that that's what happened, but nothing that Ambassador Volker said contradicted what President Trump said. We have a crime, extortion. I think we all agree that if you use $390 million...
in the beginning of this process. You've already decided that there's a crime?
Well, no. I mean, yes. I mean, that's why we're doing it. A crime was committed. Okay. We're now looking at the suspect, the president, who confessed to the crime, by the way. He doesn't think it's a crime.
It doesn't sound like you need much of a process, then. I mean,
He's entitled to a fair process.
That's a relief.
He doesn't want to turn over any documents or have any people come in. He's ordering people not to come in. If that's the case, you know, I think you can just file that away as what guilty people do. It's a consciousness of guilt if you're not going to have people come in.
Unbelievable. He's already found him guilty of extortion.
Wow.
This guy used to be a prosecutor. And the one that Adam Schiff is the one that really scares me. And to think, I mean, if this guy were a prosecutor and he had your case and he didn't like you, do you think there could be a prosecutory misconduct involved in this guy? This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, President Swalwell saying things that just aren't there.
I think you would understand if people might be a little bit hesitant to buy your assessment at this stage
innocent
of the game.
People cooperate.
Because you called the president a Russian agent, and after 2 years of investigation, exhaustive investigation, that was determined to not be the case. So just pause for a moment. You know, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. That's what you
if
said.
You shake down
and everybody
the
knows what happened
did,
at the end of the investigation.
That sounds a lot
there
like
was those two things were never connected.
Tactics.
But let's move forward here because I want to ask you another one. Adam Schiff began to push the quid pro quo allegation. He asked Volker whether he would agree that no president of the United States should ever ask a foreign leader to help intervene in a U.S. election. And Volker said, I agree with that. And that would be particularly egregious if it was done in the context of withholding foreign assistance, which we've already established Zelensky didn't even know that it was withheld. So he's pushing that point again to try to get him to agree to that when he's already said that that was not the case. Volker balked. We're getting into now, you know, a conflation of these things that I don't actually think was there. So my question again is, why is Adam Schiff pressing for an answer other than what this witness who has agreed to be there wants to share with your committee about what he saw and heard? Why is he pushing for something different than that?
Again, I don't agree with that characterization, but the president actually said...
It's quite clear.
He said on the call, I have a favor to ask, though. That sounds like a quid pro quo to me. In the history of quid pro quos, no one's ever said,
I have
a quid pro quo for you. And let me finish, Martha.
Go ahead.
No one's ever said, I have a quid pro quo for you.
Right.
But the president, leveraging $390 million of your taxpayer dollars, mm-hmm. told the Ukrainians, you have to investigate the Bidens and you have to exonerate Russia from what they did in the 2016 election.
Yeah.
And then you get your White House meeting and your security assistance. That sounds like a quid pro quo. And he's admitted to it.
There's no
the president has confessed.
Okay, I'll
he's confessed.
You know, it really is a whole other land and, like, information silo. Now, I've thought about this for a while, Dan. I think there are a lot of Democrats, including, you know that ghee you would buy for your steak?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Swalwell dips his face in it every morning. Like, so shiny. Anyway, I think folks like Swalwell believe, number one, that Trump still was a Russian asset. He did collude with the Russians, and Mueller just couldn't prove that because Trump obstructed justice. Number one, I think they actually believe that. And then they constantly, whether they're being dishonest or not, I don't know.
They conflate.
They say that what Barr's up to is to exonerate the Russians and show the Russians didn't interfere. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with this outrageous claim that Mueller couldn't verify that the Russians colluded with the Trump administration. Mueller didn't even find collusion with any American.
Well, that the DOJ officials colluded with themselves to try to overthrow Donald Trump.
Right.
That's what it's going to get down to.
And it's starting to all come out now. Like, this big impeachment push, I think the Biden situation is a small-time thing compared to they're really worried about Attorney General Barr and U.S. Attorney Durham.
Yeah.
And it keeps coming back to that.
This is a reaction. When you start seeing those molecules hit each other, the heat starts turning on, they get a little panic, and then boom, they throw stuff out. That's why they're in such a rush in this whole thing. Okay, so she was nice. She let Swalwell finish. Now, listen to Swalwell on this next explanation. Withholding the money. Listen to this.
The
no,
guys
that's,
confessed.
That's actually not true. But anyway,
that's actually
you can't
not true.
Have a quid pro quo if the person who's being talked into that or held to that doesn't know that the military assistance has even been paused. So he's saying
so that's
he
a
doesn't
fair question.
Know that.
Let me address that. Yep. So this military assistance was approved by the Congress in 2018. So
correct.
Now we are in July 25, 2019. 6+ months have passed. They haven't received it. Oh, they know they haven't received it yet,
well,
and now you have the president shaking it down. They haven't received it. Passed in 2018, not received yet in July. They know they haven't received it yet.
They say that they had no understanding that it was being withheld and that
it's
they did
binary.
Not feel
you
pressured.
You got it or you don't, and they
did
didn't.
Not feel pressured in any way because they didn't know that was being withheld, and they thought it was all on schedule.
I wonder how many cases this guy won. Because, I mean, it's... He says something with this certainty and this aggressiveness as if it is right. You know, if you hear that, you know, you're going to inherit some money and it's been a time period that's happened, somebody that isn't necessarily withholding that, they're
right.
going through the parts of the estate separation.
Right.
They're not withholding it from you. And I'm reading now why people are saying that Mulvaney withheld the money, and they're tying it back. You remember when he said, as we were worried about the fact that we may break the law and lose the money if we didn't have it done by a particular time. Mm-hmm. And that's what they were saying, is we were making sure that we were within that time frame, but that Ukraine was doing what they're supposed to do. They're conflating that to investigating Biden thing. Which, by the way, never happened. There's no call, there's nothing that said, well, how's that, you know, the president asked you about investigating Biden, how's that going?
I want to investigate where all that money of USAID went.
$1.5 billion?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's chicken scratch there. Let me do this. Let me go to a break. Dan Moore Show, we have so much more right after this.
Dan Morris Show.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bell Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source, 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. A great unknown troop, a group of traffic. So Ginger Baker died last week. Hmm. That was sad. From Cream and Blind Faith. As a drummer, he was one of the guys I would really listen to see how he was playing the drums with that heavy downbeat in the rock and roll era, that rock and roll era, which I loved, by the way. I was in a band at that time. 272-9228. Let's get into a couple of pieces here. Peter Ducey on the campaign trail, then we'll hit Biden, and then we'll pick back up with some things that are more related to where we are right now.
The battle for the progressive vote is heating up tonight in the Democratic presidential race. Senator Elizabeth Warren took a lot of fire last night in the first debate since she overtook former Vice President Joe Biden in some national and early state polls. while her main rival on the left is getting badly needed support from one of that wing's rock star figures. Correspondent Peter Ducey reports tonight from Westerville, Ohio.
Joe Biden stood next to Elizabeth Warren for 3 hours last night and still had more to say about her this afternoon.
I don't want to pick on Elizabeth Warren, but this is ridiculous.
Biden's beef with Warren is that she isn't being upfront about raising taxes on the middle class to pay for Medicare for all. And he's not the only one.
At least Bernie's being honest here and saying how he's going to pay for this and that taxes are going to go up.
But Biden's issues with Warren go much deeper to the early days of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau almost a decade ago.
I got votes for that bill. I convinced people to vote for it. So let's get those things straight, too.
Senator Warren, do you want to respond?
I am deeply grateful to President Obama, who fought so hard to make sure that agency was passed into law.
Hunter Biden was brought up by the moderators, and that didn't sit well with the debaters.
The second issue we cover on this stage is elevating a lie and attacking a statesman. That was so offensive.
The most personal exchange, though, was about mandatory gun buybacks between Beto O'Rourke, who says he's inspired by survivors.
Let's follow their inspiration and lead and not be limited by the polls.
And Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
I don't need lessons from you on courage, political or personal.
Buttigieg is one of four candidates with more cash on hand than Biden. And the deepest pockets belong to Bernie Sanders.
Senator Sanders is in favor of medical marijuana. I want to make sure that's clear as well.
Senator Sanders, this debate does mark your...
But Sanders did just win the coveted endorsement of the popular progressive congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, something Biden believes may still benefit him.
How do you convince progressive-minded primary voters that you're a better choice than Bernie Sanders when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just announced that he is her guy?
That's how I do it.
Mr. Biden. Joe Biden has been around as long as anybody in politics. AOC is a freshman with less than 1 year in Washington, but she's already proven she knows how to get people talking. And in these primaries where it is so hard to stand out, she's going to have them talking about Bernie.
Peter Ducey is doing a good job, and Biden is a little concerned here. You can kind of tell in that little, he's got that little nervous laugh that he does.
Right.
New polling just came out here from Emerson. Iowa Democrat primary has Warren at 23%, Biden at 22%, Sanders at 13%, Buttigieg at 16%. Here's two interesting facts. Iowa Trump versus Biden. Used to be Biden was up by 9 points. Now Trump is up by 2. Uh-oh. Iowa Trump versus Warren used to be a difference of 6. Now Trump is up by 2 in that one. Starting to last. Sanders versus Trump. Sanders 51%, Trump 49%.
Oh, interesting.
Now Sanders has dropped some, but not as much as the others had dropped. So those are kind of, that's what you got to get nervous about here. But Peter Ducey is doing a good job.
Some breaking news. You know that resolution the House passed yesterday,
like
354 to 60, to rub in the president's face. We hate what you did withdrawing troops from Syria. Well, today, just happened, Chuck Schumer went to the Senate floor, majority leader in the Senate, and wanted to pass the same resolution. To do that, you need unanimous consent to bring the bill up. Well, guess which senator rose and said, "I object"? Rand Paul. And Rand Paul said this from the floor. He, Chuck Schumer, should come to the floor and say that we are ready to declare war, we are ready to authorize force, and we are going to stick our troops in the middle of this messy, five-sided civil war where we would be ostensibly opposed to the Turkish government that has made an incursion. So that kind of upset Chuck Schumer's plans for this afternoon. Gotta like Rand Paul being a gadfly sometimes.
Yeah, he likes to get his put his finger in the cake just to make it where nobody else can eat it. You remember that kid that kind of, oh God, Joey, why'd you do that?
I spit on it, it's mine.
Now, it sounds like you've done that before.
No.
I like that. Biden defends campaign cash, and listen to this.
We did not start off by dropping
$10 million from a Senate campaign,
listen to the numbers,
wherever that money was raised from, into a race. We've been in the process of having about a third of the time that many people have had, and we're doing fine.
Former Vice President Joe Biden defending yesterday afternoon his campaign funds after a new report shows he has a lot less cash on hand than his top rivals. So what does that tell us about the future of Biden's candidacy? Let's talk to Colin Reed, former campaign manager for Senator Scott Brown. What does it say to you? You know, we just heard in that soundbite talking about rolling over money from some other campaign. What's he talking about with that?
Well, it seems like Elizabeth Warren's gotten under his skin. She has replaced him atop the polls and assumed the front-runner status. But look, campaign donors, they want to invest in winners. They don't want to throw good money after bad. So any campaign that's going in the wrong direction, it's not surprising that donors might hit the brakes and say, hey, wait a minute, why don't I take another look at this campaign before I plow more money into it?
Okay, and the answer to the question that the guy didn't answer, which was Scott Brown's guy who was temporarily a senator in Massachusetts, is you can take money from a Senate campaign that you met all the requirements to of donations for that, and you can transfer it to another campaign and or a special PAC that is going to help the Elizabeth Warren travel operation, for example, which is typically what they do. I'd always been suspicious that she had done that because of the level of events and the number of events she was doing. It's a lot easier to take that money and transfer it for doing advance work and room rentals and backdrops and bands and sound systems, all that, than it is to do a lot of other things. You're not, you fall under different rules. Let's do this next part, Biden defense campaign. Listen to the numbers of the others compared to Joe Biden.
Speaking of more money, Bernie Sanders has got plenty of money, much more on hand than Joe Biden, as you can see right there, $33 million. Warren's got 25, Buttigieg 23, Harris 10, and Joe Biden at $8.98 million right now, third quarter cash in hand. What does it say to you about, you know, he says, I got in late in the third quarter. You buy that?
I think he might be assumed he was going to take in more than he is. And campaigns are like any small business, Steve. Fundamentally, you have to spend less than you bring in. And if you don't and you run out of money, the lights go off, the staff doesn't get paid, people get laid off. When I was a campaign manager, I used to have this recurring nightmare that I'd wake up in mid-October and the campaign would be out of money and it would be all my fault. It didn't happen to me because I had a good fundraising team and a candidate that worked hard. But when the polls start going south, the money will follow and then it's all downhill from there.
Well, it's going to be a nightmare for the Democrats when they take a look at the amount of cash that President Trump has on hand right now. It's $83.2 million. That's quite a war chest.
That's the beauty of running in an uncontested primary, is you can sit back and amass your resources while everyone else spends all of theirs. But I also think President Trump's doing some smart things, strategically spending money while no one else is, because you do kind of have the space to yourself.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about this. How much does the Hunter Biden situation play into the fact that as Democratic donors are opening up their wallets and their hearts to candidates, they're thinking, maybe not Joe Biden because he's got that problem?
And as long as this impeachment issue is front and center in the headlines, which it will be for the foreseeable future, so too will Hunter Biden's woes in the Ukraine. And, you know, look, other than money earned media and the headlines you get is the second most valuable commodity right now. And they're two are inextricably linked. And we've got Trevor Noah out there ripping Joe Biden for his response on how he handled the Ukraine issue. It's going to be there. Donors are going to be reading those headlines and thinking, maybe I ought to take a look somewhere else and find another horse.
You know, when you're 8.3 million, that is tiny. And so Joe Biden, who's not doing a lot of events, he's not doing a lot of travel and stuff, but he is very top heavy with staff. I understand he's kind of has the Hillary Clinton model, that he got hired a person to do every single little job that needs to be done, versus trying to build that through a group of volunteers and things like that. And so it's what's called the burn rate in politics. His burn rate, he's spending more than he's taking in. And with the 8.3 million, your burn rate can knock through that pretty fast. And he's not known to be a great fundraiser. Remember, he was like number six in the pack. He had 15 million, where Buttigieg was, I think, at 25 or 23, and Bernie was at 25. So he did 15 million. Now he's down to 8.3 cash on hand.
Uh-oh, Joe.
That's a problem because I haven't seen a lot of ads that he's been doing. So that means that all that is in either is in staff, which he can't. The only way you can stop that burn rate is you have to let people go. And you start letting people go, that is, the talk will be around in Washington, D.C., let's say. There will be plenty of talk around there. Let me go to a break. Jenny, coming back to you. Dan Moore Show right after this.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
This is Ryan Turner with Infusion Wellness Center. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for about 3 years now, and it's a great way to get your name out there and reach the people your business needs to grow and succeed. Highly recommended.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
News. I'm Rich Dennison. Vice President Mike Pence a short time ago claiming success in U.S. efforts to persuade Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to halt hostilities in northern Syria. President Trump reacting in Texas, where he's holding a campaign rally.
Great day for the Kurds. It's really a great day for civilization. It's a great day for civilization.
The president, who has been criticized for withdrawing U.S. troops from northern Syria, says the five-day pause in Turkish military operations will allow Kurdish forces to withdraw and for negotiations to continue. Next year's G7 summit with world leaders will be held at one of President Trump's private resorts. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney.
At the Trump National Doral facility in Miami, Florida.
Government ethics watchdogs have opposed using Trump properties for such functions, citing conflict of interest and emolument violations. America is listening to Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com. Montgomery Subaru.
Rich Thomas Weather. Well, hi, everybody. After the hot summer we've had, this fall weather is just great. With mostly clear skies tonight, jacket weather again, overnight low temperature in the upper 40s. Tomorrow's going to be another very comfortable day with a high temperature in the lower 70s. Now, as we approach the weekend, we've been talking about this system in the Gulf, which could develop quickly, maybe become a tropical depression, maybe even more than a tropical depression, before it reaches the northern Gulf Coast by Saturday. How would it affect us, and what track is it going to take? We'll keep an eye on it. Get our weather app on your phone or tablet now. Stay on top of the tropics. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather from the Blue Water Weather Center. This is Rich Thomas.
Are you tired of renting instead of building equity in your home? ASE Credit Union can help. With historic low rates and an easy approval process, your dream of owning a new home can be a reality. Apply online or visit your local branch. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Two seven two nine two two eight. That's where we are. Let's go to the phones, boys and girls. Let's go to Jenny. Jenny, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hello. I just was wanting to warn the drivers that are going from Lincoln to Harrison Road.
Yeah.
On Harrison going towards east. Why did she make that corner? There's going to be some logs blocking your way. But I've notified the city, and she told me that she would get somebody to go get them.
Okay, Harrison Road, and where? What was the intersection?
Lincoln.
I don't know where Lincoln is. How far down from the school is that?
Well, it's on the side like you were traveling to the school, so it's right past the cemetery.
Okay. I know where you are then. Yeah, Lincoln Cemetery, that makes sense. Well, I appreciate the information, Jenny.
You're welcome.
You have a great day.
Everybody drive happy.
There you go. Enjoy the pretty day. Okay, let's get this thing done right here. Let's see which way we want to go. That cash thing was very interesting. Let's go to Mark Penn, former Clinton poster on the Biden-Hunter response.
If it's not okay for a president's family to be involved in foreign businesses, why was it okay for your son when you were vice president? Vice President Biden?
Look, my son did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. I carried out the policy of the United States government in rooting out corruption in Ukraine. And that's what we should be focusing on.
At Tuesday's Democratic debate, former VP Joe Biden was the only candidate asked about his son Hunter business dealings. But according to a new online poll, 52% of voters say the candidates should be talking about it. That's fellow Democrats. So why are they not talking about it? Here with us to talk about it is the chairman of the Harris poll and former Clinton 2008 presidential campaign chief strategist Mark Penn. But Mark, first on that, if I'm trying to get this nomination, to me, this is a ripe issue. Am I wrong?
Well, you're right. And look, the voters are talking about it. And that's why I think the Biden camp has tried. Hunter Biden went out. You saw the vice president's response. They've tried to respond to this issue. They haven't laid out all the facts here the way you normally want to do when you're really going to put something to rest.
And that's true. He's not. What you try to do is if you have a problem, you're trying to nip it in the bud, using Bernie Fife, and he did not nip it in the bud. And it was, he tried that Biden deal. I'm going to say this firmly so you'll believe it's true. And that a lot of people, that's what Swalwell does. So let's continue on with Mark Penn, former Clinton poster, and talking about the numbers. Listen to this.
Let's just take a look at the numbers. That's your life, that you live by the numbers. This poll said when this should they'd been discussing Hunter Biden or family members and what they do as it relates to the candidate and trading on a name. 40% of the Democrats say yeah, they should be talking about. 60 no. Republicans, 64% say yes. 36% say no. Independents, which is a key number you always bring me to, Mark, 54 to 46.
Sure. I think people are hung up with, was there something illegal? The question is really, in addition to that poll, our Harris poll shows over three quarters think it's wrong for sons to be involved in business dealings where the father's in political life in the related areas of Ukraine and China. So people want an explanation. They think there's something wrong here. We shouldn't confuse this with trying to criminalize everything.
Understood. A couple of things happened from that debate. Amy Klobuchar said she got $1 million, roughly, as did Mayor Pete. They say it's off their performance. Is that significant to you?
I think it's not huge numbers. Look, I think they both did well in that debate. I don't think they knocked the front runners off their pedestals. But I think they raised some serious arguments against Warren's health care plan. How is she going to pay for it without raising middle class taxes? A fair question. And Klobuchar in particular stood up and asked that question.
And he's getting a lot of questions. That's one of the stories today. She's got to really start. Instead of saying, I have a plan, now let's, as she said, let's not make it a pipe dream. The other thing is that while Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have $20 million in the bank, Joe Biden has just 9. Would that be concerning if you were working for Joe Biden?
Well, definitely. Look, Biden's campaign has held on to a lead in the low 30s in the national polls, but it hasn't grown. Elizabeth Warren has shown the most momentum in the entire field, and now she's got a tough question to answer. When politicians don't answer a question, you know what the real answer is.
Ooh, you do know what the real answer is. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Red Top. Red Top, How are you enjoying this beautiful day?
Oh, man, I've been outside painting all morning. I am this afternoon. It is just gorgeous.
It really is. I slept like a rock last night. I slept so well, I woke up with a sleep hangover.
Well, that's maybe one good kind of hangover to have. Let me,
you know what I'm talking about. You sleep so deep, you're kind of groggy when you wake up.
Yeah, I have a hard time pulling out of the crypt.
There you go.
First of all, let me make a couple comments here. Russia's got a president. He's tough. He rides a horse. North Korea's president rides a horse in the snow. He's even tougher. But you know what? Our president rides. He rides a damn 747. So, are you going to go with the guys still on horses, or are you going to ride with the president on 747?
Okay, analogy.
Here's another good analogy. Donald Trump's pulling men out of Syria. Russia and everybody else is putting men in Syria into another endless war. Donald Trump's taking men out of Syria and he's putting them on the moon. Which country do you want to belong to? One that the president rides 747 and puts men on the moon instead of Syria? I do believe we're in the right place, gentlemen.
So what do you think they're going to do? Where will the Kurds go?
Right back to where they started. They should have just stayed there. Back to northern Iraq. They have no other place to go. They don't belong in Syria. That's not their territory.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's exactly where they're going to go. I think, and then they're going to try to get back to maybe that three-state solution of Iraq that we have talked about before. But if they can go back there and they can get there safely, and the question will be, will they be disarmed or not disarmed?
They're just going to go back in the viper's pit, and the snakes are going to eat each other up, and we just need to stay the hell away and monitor the situation for a good 20 years. Because, no more resources need to go to that. We got the oil situation, the Iraqis and the Israelis and the Saudis locked down. We got it as stable as it's ever going to get. We need to get the hell out and stay clean, don't you think?
Yes.
And Elijah Cummings? Good riddance.
Oh, no. Don't say that about a man who just...
Good riddance. Damn it, I am. This man is a sick person, and he was really sick in the past couple years, and I'm not talking about his health. So, I'm sorry. Good riddance. That doesn't mean I'm saying I'm glad the man's dead. I just say good riddance, and I think it's very good riddance, and we're all glad to see him go. He's almost the last of that bunch. So, good. And on that note, roll tide, go Trump.
It's going to be a good weekend, my friend.
It will.
Have a good one. Excuse me. Let's pick up with, let's see, how are we on time here? Let's pick up with Brit Hume talking about something I've talked about, and that's how the media is playing this and how it's affecting the polling numbers. It takes a little while to get into that topic, but let's listen in.
All right, so here now, Brit Hume, Fox News senior political analyst, joining me with his reaction to that and what we see moving forward here. Brit, I guess, you know, first of all, what do you think of where this stands with regard to the transparency issue?
Well, with those who are arguing that this is being done in the proper way, I would encourage them to go back and look at what happened during the most widely accepted impeachment inquiry of our time. Mm-hmm. You know, in the Bill Clinton impeachment, there was really no investigative phase because it was based upon the Starr report, which had, you know, was a multi-year investigation, produced a voluminous report, and that was the basis of the impeachment of Bill Clinton. The Nixon case, the Nixon inquiry was different, and it was conducted with scrupulous fairness to the president and to the Republicans. And the president's lawyer was present during these sessions of questioning. The Republicans were allowed to call witnesses, and it was a very different atmosphere. And the tone of it, the seriousness of the tone, there was nothing like that interview you just had with Eric Swalwell, where charges not yet established were being flung around with abandon. It was not like that at all. There was a sense of respect for the institution of the presidency, respect for the seriousness of impeachment. It was a very different matter altogether, and I think it's the best comparison to make because it's the one, the inquiry at least, that's most like this one.
And I didn't get a chance to cut it, but Judge Napolitano, which, again, the way he was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about and which is something I've said, they get to set the rules the way they want to set the rules. There's nothing illegal about what they're doing. But he wouldn't answer the question of, well, what's the optics of it? And he just kept going back to the legal part. And I think the optics are terrible of it, but somebody's got to be the one that's telling people about it. They've got to get it out in the open. If they don't, then they're going to have a problem. Okay, so Brett Hume is going to be talking about the leaks and that they are creating the polling numbers out there.
There were actual charges that came out of the START report. I believe there were 12 of them that were found at the end of that. And in this case, I mean, this is separate from the Mueller investigation, but that was the case. But it is curious when you look at the way that the public are responding, at least to polls, and, you know, polls are polls, that the Democrats seem to be moving the ball in terms of convincing people that this impeachment proceeding is... has value. Let's put up some of these numbers here. Go ahead.
Martha, I don't think there's any doubt. The Democrats with this impeachment issue, they're winning.
Yeah.
This proceeding behind closed doors with a multitude of leaks coming that all point basically in the same direction, which is Trump's guilty, have been pouring out of these behind-closed-door sessions. Republicans have been very hesitant to join in that practice because I think they don't like it, but it's also because when Devin Nunes was accused of that, when he was chairman of that committee, when they were investigating this whole Russia collusion matter, he got an ethics complaint filed against him, and he had to step aside for a period of months while that was investigated. It was found to be baseless, and he was ultimately reinstated. Republicans seem afraid of something like that, yet the Democrats are leaking like mad, and it is working. And the polls show now, several of them now, have shown majority support for impeachment and removal.
Yeah,
so let's
put up one of those. We have a new Gallup poll, 52% of Americans. And of course, when you break these down by party, you see that it's an increase in Democrats who are in favor of this. But it's also, let's put up the breakdown. Here we go. Independents. In June of 2019, 46% were in favor. In October, Britt, you've got 55%. So that's why Nancy Pelosi, as you pointed out, have pointed out, that's why she doesn't want to vote. She doesn't feel like she needs one.
Well, she doesn't need one, and she in a way needs not to have one, because a vote to go ahead with this, to further it, would be unpopular in the districts of a number of her Democratic colleagues. Who, you know, they were elected in Trump districts, and voting to go forward to further impeachment would be unpopular there. And she wants to spare them that vote, I think, for as long as she can. Sooner or later, if they're going to go through with this, the House is going to have to vote on whether on articles of impeachment or not. And I'm sure that what she's hoping is that this whole process going forward, they can build up some kind of a stronger case than they now have, and hope to get an impeachment out of that.
Britt Hume, always good to see you, sir. Thanks,
Martha.
The independent numbers are the important ones out of that. The other thing is, let me kind of tell you something that, in talking to a member of Congress, that may happen here. What they may do is take these hearings and turn it into an impeachment inquiry report that then goes to the House and is distributed to all the House members, but they just read the report, which is their version of things, and then they're voting on the report. Whether they accept the report, and then they open up impeachment, and they vote on impeachment. All that could happen in a very short period of time. Now, the Republicans will be yelling bloody murder, but the problem is, on Rules Committee, there's nothing they can really do about it. They can kind of conduct this any way they want to. It'd be a question, will the press say anything? And right now, I don't think they will. Dan Martin Show, we'll be back. Right after this.
The Dan Morris Show. Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV, News Talk 93.1.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
This is where we are. I'm going to get to another segment here. I normally do not cut Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs is a terrible interviewer. I have to go in and segment so many things because there's so many uhs and he rambles on. But Lou Dobbs is talking to Victoria Tensington and Joe DeGeneva about the DNC server that was, what happened to it?
Then let me start, Victoria, as is my wont, with you. Let's start with just a couple of basic things. Where is the server from the DNC?
That was Trump's question today. Well,
no,
here's why
I thought, you know, good question. I've got a couple more.
Yes, so don't we all? Here's why it's important for the viewers, in case they don't know. The DNC complained that the Russians hacked their servers, their computers, and so they should have turned these servers over to the FBI for analysis. But no, they didn't. They turned it over to a Democratic-oriented company called CrowdStrike, who analyzed them and, of all things, said, oh, the Russians did it, the Russians did it. But it's never,
right.
They've never been analyzed by the government. And what's really bad, Lou, is the FBI said, okay. Oh, that's all
right. Do we really believe that? Do we believe that? Because as the president said, where is the server? He also mentioned CrowdStrike on the telephone call, right? I'm just curious about CrowdStrike, the DNC, how the FBI relented on such an important piece of forensic evidence. Aren't you, Joe?
Yes, and I think probably John Durham will give us those answers. I believe that the investigation the Attorney General has authorized by John Durham into Crossfire Hurricane, which was the counterintelligence right. operation against Citizen Trump, Candidate Trump, President-elect Trump, and President Trump, was in fact all part of the same ball of wax. And I'm sure Durham will give us the answer as to why this was done. But make no mistake about it. The corrupt James Comey FBI at the top, with Brennan and Clapper, made sure that anything involving the Democrats was going to be covered up. It's as brazen and as bold as that. And if she had gotten elected, we never would have known about any of this.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Let's stay on with Lou Dobbs. You wouldn't believe how much I had to change. I had to clean this thing up. But he's talking about closed hearings in the press. And Victoria's going to answer this one.
There's so much that we still don't know, as you know. But I have to say, as we're watching the so-called impeachment inquiry moving through the Schiff Star Chamber, I don't know what's going on. Volcker is there. We're seeing all of these relatively low-level people testifying. It's just stunning to me. What do you make of getting these transcripts, turning hearings into transcripts, into depositions, if you will, providing no access, and we're learning nothing more about the situation in Ukraine?
Here's what the equivalent is, Lou. It's as if you have a defendant on trial, the president, and the prosecutor gets to have the witness questioned outside of the jury. Forget about cross-examination. There's no even cross-examination. And then the prosecutor gets to come in and just give snippets to the jury of what the witness said. That's what is going on here. Basic due process is gone, and I am so embarrassed for the media. Where are the editorials saying, hey, hold on, guys, you should be fair in this process? I'm terribly embarrassed. I don't know what's happened to journalism.
I will say the same thing here. I guess I don't have enough time here. No, I do.
Yeah, you might.
Okay, let's put this last one in here. And they're going to ask, you know, where's the Wiener computer? Where is the server? And ask them the question, can Durham find this out?
I think it's pretty clear. When you look at MSNBC, you look at CNN, listen to Jeff Zucker exhorting his quote-unquote journalist to focus on quote-unquote impeachment, because that's not what this is. This is pure and simple subversion cloaked in a fantasy called an impeachment inquiry. As we all know, it is nothing of the kind. Let's go to what has happened here with the Wiener. I'm just on a sort of a digital kick here tonight. the server, where in the hell is the laptop for Anthony Wiener and all of the emails betwixt Hillary Clinton and Uma Abedin? Why in the world is nothing coming to resolution? We still don't have the inspector general report. We now are told by apparently reliable sources that it's going to be delayed. God knows why.
Well, apparently it's again this whole issue of declassification, and apparently the FBI is fighting the declassification of certain parts of the report. Whatever the reason is, the point that you made earlier is the correct one, Lou. What we are watching is a deconstitutionalization of the American government. The corrupt process that the Democrats in the House are following, if you can call it process, is designed to do one thing: smear the president, corrupt the public jury with evidence, false evidence about him, and then say when it's over, this man should no longer serve as our president. We are watching the absolute destruction of the constitutional system that our founders set up. The Democrats are doing it with glee, with joy, all in the pursuit of power. And the fact that the Wiener laptop is still in the possession, as I understand it, of the FBI and has not undergone further analysis is only part and parcel of why it's essential that Barr get it over, get it all out, and figure out a way to fix the FBI. Because believe me, the FBI needs fixing.
Yeah, and Chris Wray can't do it.
Chris Wray can't do it. Except it. Durham can. Joey, I want to thank you for a great show.
Good show.
Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock for the TGIF.